Hello, it's the Ghost. Welcome to They Call Me the Ghost. If you're a fan of the strange but true happening in our world and the dark and mysterious goings-on, then you are in the right place. In 1946, almost a year prior to the famous incident at Mount Rainier, which heralded the start of the modern UFO age, a farmer died in a most hideous fashion in Brazil's backcountry. Within a matter of hours, a strange light had brought about the death of a Mr. Filho by intense burns, according to some witnesses, or as a result of his flesh falling off from the bones, leaving bones and tendons exposed, as others would claim. The answer to one of the most disconcerting and horrifying cases in the history of ufology started in a small, noisome hotel where an historian and ufologist and a researcher had lodged in order to research several alleged Chupacabras attacks in the region. They were in a town about 47 kilometers away from the city of Sao Paulo when one of the roommates called to their attention. It broke the silence of the night. Looking through a newspaper he found in the room's grimy bathroom. With a mixture of ecstasy and emotion stumbling over words, the young Japanese Brazilian read out the paper's contents. It was dated April 12, 1977, and read, "The esteemed Roque Prestes died at 91 years old on April 6th at his home in this city. He was the brother of the esteemed Mr. Filho." To their astonishment, these guys stumbled onto the trail of the parents of Mr. Filho, the man who died a terrible death on March 4, 1946. After having been attacked by an unexplained light, his flesh began to fall off his bones in chunks, especially off his jaw, chest, hands, fingers, and feet, dooming him to die within a matter of hours. To the horror and helplessness of onlookers, some pieces of flesh remained dangling from his tendons. So now these guys are on something. They contact a son of the late Roque Prestes by phone in a matter of minutes, and at a brisk pace, they are reaching the modest home of 60-year-old Luis Prestes on the outskirts of São Roque. Luis was still in mourning after the recent death of his father, a former soldier of the Constitutionalist Revolution of 1932. "Up to very recently, shortly before his death," he says, "my father recalled his brother's tragic passing on that distant year, 1946. I was small," he says, "some 9 years old, but I clearly remember what happened to my uncle, Joao. It was Carnival week, and he, who loathed such festivities, decided to go fishing, and he drove off in his cart. He lived in a little village that was only 7 kilometers away from San Roque. It was a fairly isolated and quiet community. His aunt went off to the festivities with the children and left Joao's supper already made at home. Luis continues that I was in another city when I learned that my uncle was dying at a relative's house. I wanted to go, but I was forbidden to go in since I was too young and Joao's physical condition could have caused a traumatic impression. So he was being protected. He says his father did see him and that Joao told him that upon returning home and opening the window, something resembling fire, or maybe a fiery torch, entered the room in which he was standing. He fell to the floor and felt that his body was on fire. He wrapped himself in a blanket. He walked over 2 kilometers into the village, and it turns out he was burned, only from the waist up, leaving his head alone. Now on his way to the hospital, there were 2 sheets covering him that were blackened by the wounds, the burns on his body. Joao died shortly before even being admitted to the hospital. A number of books since that time have been published in English, Japanese, and even Russian about how he had died in a hideous manner. Pieces of his body, such as ears and parts of his face, were actually melting off, so they say. Is this true? Luis tries to clarify and says no, his appearance, according to his own father, who escorted him to the hospital, was truly ruinous. But it wasn't that extreme. He had serious burns all over his body, his flesh was dark, and he presented no bodily injuries. And where this all started? Well, the fact is that nothing burned in that room where the fire first appeared. This guy had no enemies or anyone who would be interested in doing anything like this to him. Even as he died, he repeated that the light tracked him and that it was otherworldly. And back then, things like this weren't quite as unusual, although they didn't understand as much as we do now. People back then would constantly see fireballs, and they called them ghosts, around their own vicinities. Some people believe they came from the gold mine that's now closed. Other weird things would happen too. One man talked about around 1922 that he was able to see a wolf man, while another man threw a rock at it and tried to hit its hand. Well, the next day, the neighbor turned up with his hands bandaged. And you can only imagine the talk that went around that one. There were stories after stories that, in a way, labeled this city, Sal Roque, as a fantastic window through which an astonishing variety and quantity of different phenomena could go through. And this theory had data to back it up. Another brother in the same family had his own experience. A few months after his brother's tragic death, Emiliano was walking through the forest, the same forest where others had seen these fiery balls. And as he was walking through it, a fiery torch appeared above him. Well, this terrified him and caused him to run to the canyon's edge, where this thing fell on him, and all he could do was kneel and pray for his life. He told us that he felt an intense heat, but luckily for him, the fiery torch moved away and then suddenly vanished. The fiery torch, or fireball, was also seen on several occasions by Luis's father, so this runs in the family. This object would frighten horses even and riders alike as they made their way through the forest to reach their homes. The lights were seen most frequently between 3 and 4 in the morning and were 3 and 4 times larger than their view of the moon. The people claimed they could even feel the heat, even if they were far away, and that these things moved amazingly fast. Before our researchers get done talking to Luis, they think they're done. They think they have all the information they need until Luis gives another valuable clue, the possible existence of the last witness to have seen Joao's dying moments. An elderly gentleman, but very lucid and strong. So the researchers immediately head toward the residence of this Mr. Alves. Upon reaching his house, the daughter advises that the father's out in front working in the field, so they wait. And after some time elapses, he does appear. And surprisingly, he produces his identity card, proving that he's 92 years old, but in full health. Seated on the threadbare sofa in his modest home, this man, Mr. Alves, explains that he was Joao's second cousin, so still in the family. He says, "I was born and raised in this town. That's where I began working, in the gold mine, at the young age of 15. There was a British engineer who couldn't write my name and called me Garoto de Oro, Golden Boy. But I'll tell you what I do know about the horrible death of Joao. It was in 1946 during the carnival season. He went fishing in a nearby river, riding in his cart, while the wife and the children went off to the festivities. It was the dry season and there was no rain. When he got back, he stabled his horse, fed it some corn, put the fish in a pot and heated up some water with some firewood, and took a bath. When he changed clothing, a sort of beam of light, or yellow light, appeared in his room out of nowhere. He felt his body burning, and that his beard, while it was short, was also burning. He was panicked. He couldn't move his hands. Joao raised the door latch using his teeth and ran into the street, and he was barefoot. He ran, screaming, to his sister Maria's house near the church. He dropped on a bed and said he had been burned. The police chief went over immediately, who told him there was no one to blame for what had happened. And the reason? Because he says the attacker had not been of this world. This was followed by lightning and thunder and a powerful rainstorm. This part of the story reminded me of another case, Varginha case, which occurred in 1997 in Minas Gerais. A rainstorm the likes of which had never been seen in that city occurred after the appearance and alleged capture of one or more supposed alien creatures. Significant atmospheric changes tend to occur before these things happen. Now, Mr. Alves was asked if he had actually seen Joao on his deathbed. And he said yes, because his cousin Emiliano was his neighbor and called him over. He found Joao in bed. He was having problems using his tongue. His skin was fair, but now it was toasted, reddish, as if he'd been roasted. His hands and face, those were the worst They had the worst burns. The hands were twisted. His hair, surprisingly, did not burn, nor did his feet, nor did his clothing. He was only burned from the waist up. His feet were torn up from running, and he was barefoot running over rocks. When asked if his skin was actually falling off, the answer was no. The skin was burned, but it wasn't falling off. However, Joao did talk of another incident. Back when he was a cattle driver, he was still young and lived with his father. On one day at sundown, as he led the donkeys over a hill, he saw this fire that fell from the sky. It was a fireball. He was near a chapel that had a cross, and he could feel the fireball passing him. It almost knocked him down, actually. Later, Joao would say that at this spot, you would often see 10 or 12 balls of fire emerging from the sky. Some of them red, some of them were moon-colored. Sometimes, 5 or 6 of them would fall into the ground, and then they would explode. Back in the day, they even had a name for these, the Boitata lights. So you know the word Boitata is of native origin, and designated mysterious lights that would pursue and even kill the native Indians. This is according to the old Portuguese and the stories of a priest. They would emerge from behind the mountain. There was a gold mine there, and then they would land on another hill where even more strange lights would appear. The people called those fireballs Mães de Ouro, mothers of gold. There was also the golden lizard, an elongated tongue of flame that moved in a straight line, slowly, didn't make a sound. The mysterious gold mine that was there is currently abandoned. Canadian General George Ralston, who founded the mine in 1926, he actually lived there until it was finally closed in the 1930s. Well, Joao eventually passed, and after his death, about a year afterwards, his brother, Emiliano, saw 2 fireballs rising and then striking each other, rising again and then repeating the same action, and this was close to a cemetery. Suddenly, the lights encircled Emiliano, and he felt intense heat. He kneeled and he prayed until the lights finally left. Now, even today, some say you can still see those lights, but they're less intense than they used to be. When they strike each other, they let sparks fly by, but they don't exactly disintegrate. The stories did continue around that mine, however. For a construction worker who worked in a cable car in the cement factory, they were using that to transport rock from a local quarry. In August of that year, the heat was unbearable. The workers all went outside to find an object drifting in the blue sky, as large as a truck tire, very tall, aluminum-colored, spinning and giving off smoke, circles of white smoke. They didn't know what it was, of course, but the following day, their local newspaper published an article about the fact that thousands of people near there also saw a flying saucer with the same characteristics. Less than a kilometer away from the town is their graveyard, where there is also the local grave digger. And in 1989, he says he also saw something weird. It was round, and it was flying over the cemetery. He said it looked like an upside-down hat, but made of aluminum. It was shining when it moved in a straight line, and it stayed balanced. Says it looked like it was headed towards Sao Paulo. There are those that will tell you that this is not an isolated case. Ufologist Grossman comments about this during an interview in Sao Paulo, saying there are many parallels between this death and others occurring in the late 70s and early 80s. The researcher points out that on the day of Priestess' death, a councilman named Mr. Martins saw a fireball as well near the cemetery. This entire death and case went international, and more interviews and talks were requested and granted during the time of research. The ex-army orderly that was asked to care for Joao gave some more interesting information. He disclosed that the flesh fell off the victim's body, leaving exposed bones and tendons, but there was no pain. The most affected bodily parts were the face and arms, he said, but there was no presenting of any darkening skin. It was rather just decomposing. An explanation that doesn't really jibe with the ones given by Luis. On the other hand, all 3 accounts do coincide that the victim's shirt, trousers, and hair remained unaffected. Over time, the mystery continued and the sightings did not stop. A married couple spotted a spherical object measuring about 3 meters in diameter floating between the trees. Didn't make any sound. It was red in color, darker at its core. Its periphery was surrounded by smaller, blinking lights alternating between red and blue. We have a 12-year-old girl claiming to see a spherical object that maybe was 5 meters in diameter. This UFO suddenly fired a beam of yellow light that covered this little girl's body and lit up the surrounding area. After this event, the young girl experienced headaches and eye irritation, and then even 3 months later, another witness spotted this same object in the same spot. One watchman of a ranch even claims that he saw two humanoids floating over a brook on a ranch property. An elderly Japanese woman would later even say she saw a half-wolfman in the same area. No matter how you look at it, this city, Sanroku, has experienced the most intense waves of activity in all of South America. So let me know, guys, are you ready to go visit this area? Want to see some floating fireballs? I don't really know if it really compels people to go visit the area, but I'd love to know if anyone's been. And have any of you ever seen anything like this? Definitely share your thoughts. There's more to know out there about our world, and I'd love to know what you have to share. Until next time, thank you for listening, and I will talk to you all soon.